Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you in to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, broadcasting live out of the closet. It is Resistance Radio for you out there in Fantasy Live. Joined alongside by the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gilhar. What's up?
The Resistance is up and running. I'm glad we could get this signal out because it was raining in Los Angeles today.
Nightmare scenario.
I liked the radar picture you put in there, Franchise. There's three tiny spots of green, and people are losing their minds the city.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, the 362 other days that I carry my umbrella in my car.
This was not one of them.
It was all worth it for today.
Oh.
We got Matt Harmon here as well. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Just, I don't know. I don't really have any good things to say right now.
Things to say.
You're starting off the podcast.
Well, no good things.
Okay. I'm just not prepared. Okay. I wasn't prepared. Sorry. Can we start over? Can we start the whole show over?
We cannot.
That's fine.
We already got our mandatory weather bit in. We cannot start the show over.
Why do we have to have a weather bit? Why?
We haven't in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's true because Marcus normally is the one who's like, well, it's 67 degrees here at Los Angeles, but now he doesn't hang out with us anymore because he's too famous.
That was a bad impression of Marcus.
It's a really bad Marcus impression.
I don't have a good Marcus impression.
We also have Matt Franchise here as well. What's going on?
I'm super excited and ready to go.
Here we go. We're going to have team coverage covering all the angles of the weather in L.A. today. Team coverage. We're going to be talking about fantasy football today. There are six teams on a bye: the Bears, the Browns, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Vikings, and the Patriots. If you've got those assets, get them out of your starting lineup, and we will give you some sleepers today. We're going to talk about trade calls, players to drop. Why should you drop Rob Kelly? Trade calls. Why should you sell Tom Brady? Wow! We will give you some deep sleepers as well.
Wow!
We're also going to be digging into some NGS stats, next-gen stats for you, and of course, we will cover every damn game as well. But we start your show, as we always do, with your top headlines.
News.
There's so much news today.
There are quite a bit of headlines here. Josh Gordon, conditionally reinstated by the league. So he is back. The legend of Josh Gordon is unbelievable. The buzz in the fantasy streets is palpable. This is despite the last time he played, man, was in 2014. We are in 2017 right now.
It's been
it's crazy.
What's the stat? Like 1,200
something. It's been over 1,000 days.
1,046 days since he played.
He played in 2014. He played 5 games. He had 24 receptions on a 51% catch rate, a meager 303 yards, 0 touchdowns, and yet he is right now one of the most added players in fantasy football. My timeline is just littered with Josh Gordon questions for absolutely no reason. All right, we'll go to Matt Harmon. What are your thoughts on his reinstatement?
I mean, there's a reason that people are asking all these questions, because, you know, at his peak, which obviously was literally thousands of days ago, he was...
When was his peak? 2013?
Yeah, 2013.
Because it wasn't 2014.
No, it wasn't 2014, but that 2013 season, he was outrageously good, and he was outrageously good with horrible quarterbacks. You know, Jason Campbell in his last stand in the NFL.
Don't slander Jason Campbell. No,
that was his last stand. I mean, that's a fact, right? I mean, he was gone after that. We never saw him again.
He popped up with the Packers, didn't he, or something like that?
I don't know. But anyway,
very sad.
Point is, journeyman Jason Campbell, Brandon Weeden back when he was only 40 years old. he showed an ability to produce at a really high level with bad quarterbacks. That being said, so that's the memory of that is obviously still in people's mind.
2013.
It's a long time ago.
Jeez.
So long.
So there's a lot of hurdles for him to overcome to be anything relevant this year, not to mention he can't even play until late November, December.
He can't practice until late November, much less play.
Again,
the dude hasn't taken an NFL snap since 2014. He's going to need a little time, even if he's been working out.
Yeah.
Going to need a little time.
Yeah.
I think he's completely irrelevant this year.
I think he is completely irrelevant.
For fantasy.
For fantasy, too, yeah. I think there's...
I'm happy for him. I'm pulling for him. He's got a great story. It's just... Get out of my... people are dropping Marvin Jones. They're dropping Cooper Kupp
for stop. What are you guys doing out there?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I think the reason people are doing that too is because, you know, maybe right here during the bye weeks, obviously it helps to have guys like Cooper Kupp, guys like Marvin Jones, you know, whatever, to help get you through a stretch that you need some help. But when it comes to week 12, you know, week 13, 14, that sort of area, you don't need those guys on your roster. Those are guys you're dropping for bench, high upside bench stashes anyways. And I would say there's a non-0% chance, which is a stupid thing to say because anything can happen, but he could obviously get going. This is a team that needs help at the wide receiver position. I'm not full-on Josh Gordon truthering right now, but I kind of understand the logic in dropping, you know, these barely usable players for somebody
like
him.
Why are you dropping him now when he's not even going to come back for a month?
Because if you don't get him now, you're not going to get him. That's just the reason people are doing it now. It's not like he's going to sit out there for a few weeks.
To throw an even wetter blanket on the story already, here's who he could conceivably face.
Okay.
The Ravens in week 15,
nope.
The Bears on the road against the Bears in week 16, and then if you play in week 17, on the road against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's not. It's,
no, no, and no.
It's like, not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Don't add him. If you did,
don't add
con
him.
Some fool in your league into trading for him.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Can I just say that the origins of the Matt Harmon is an idiot drop comes
from
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, that's right.
Was it last year or two years ago? It was last year.
God, that was last year.
We go through this cycle way too often. Also, for the record, I'm sure everybody was hanging on pins and needles. It was Cincinnati that Jason Campbell went to after the Browns.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Figured it out.
That up,
nice. No.
It was not. I don't think it was last year, by the way, guys.
I think it was two years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
When P was being drafted in, like, the middle rounds.
No, because.
Hold on. I can find out.
No, it was definitely last year because that would, like, 2 years ago would have been my first year here. And
yeah, and I think you were just dropping hot takes. And I'm like, what?
No. It was definitely last year. Mm. I can say that for a pretty good fact.
Last summer.
Last summer, you think?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because I thought last summer was highlighted by your Todd Gurley takedown.
Yeah, no, it was both.
Oh, you had both?
It was both.
Yeah.
I came in firing last summer.
Josh Gordon.
Love it, man.
It was very, very wrong.
July 25th, 2016, Josh Gordon changes the Browns' fantasy landscape.
Amazing.
Not quite.
Amazing.
Bad takes exposed.
All right, we've probably hammered the Josh Gordon thing enough.
Ezekiel Elliott's suspension, it's back on, at least at last check, because...
Please let this end.
For the love of God. It's the zombie story. You think it's dead, it gets revived, you think it's dead again, and it just keeps getting back up and crawling back into your life. It's amazing. But last time I checked, Ezekiel Elliott, the suspension is back on. He is just about out of appeals. They filed one last one. And there is a decision that could come down this week or next week. Who knows? But the bottom line is, as of taping this morning on Thursday, he is set to return in week 15. So you'd really have to be pretty far into the playoffs for Ezekiel Elliott to really make an impact. I'll throw this first question out there. Is he worth holding on to, Matt Franchise?
Yeah, definitely. If you know you're going to be in the playoffs, if you have like a 6-2 record at this point or whatever, and you're just kind of coasting, get a couple more wins and get a playoff spot, yeah, you're holding him.
Okay, what
of
about
course,
if you're,
he's going to.
What about if you're 3-3?
Then I would try to maybe try to trade him away for someone you can use in the next few weeks to get wins because he's not going to give you anything.
But I was
going to
say, you don't want to drop him or anything either because just pure gamesmanship. You don't want some, you know. Somebody, I was using some terms that aren't PC. I was thinking of some terms that aren't PC for this family podcast. But you don't want Kyle in your league to pick up Zeke with his juggernaut team.
Kyle.
Yeah, right? Kyle.
I hate Kyle.
You don't want Kyle to pick up Zeke on your juggernaut team. So you hold him,
right?
Or you try and trade him for a bunch of assets and make a push.
Stop making those bad trade offers.
It really depends. It really depends on your record and your situation and how your playoffs schedule goes.
Okay.
So,
all right, so the
keep that in mind.
The follow-up question to that is, of course, there's been, you know, obviously a rush to the waiver wire to go pick up Darren McFadden, Alfred Morris, Rod Smith potentially as well. Of that trio, Matt Harmon, who do you like?
Well, it sounds like the coaching staff and Jerry Jones, too.
It's not the coaching staff.
Right.
It's Jerry Jones.
By proxy, by order from on high. They apparently sound like they like Alfred Morris. They've been prepping him for this role. But I don't think we really know. I don't think we can know for sure. There's, you know, even Jane Slater was saying that Rod Smith, people are saying he's going to jump up to the opportunity. He could really step forward. I like Rod Smith. He looks good when he's been out there in the preseason.
I agree.
If you get deep into Cowboys Twitter, which I don't recommend doing, no. But they really thought that like Rod Smith should be the backup to him based on his to Zeke based on his preseason game tape. So
right.
I think you definitely want some investment in all of these players. Get them when you can. But right now, it sounds like Alfred Morris will be the guy.
Alex?
Here's what you do. You take a six-sided die. Okay. On the like 1 and 5, you put a picture of Alfred Morris's face. Uh-huh. On the 3 and the 2, you okay. put Darren McFadden. And then on the 4 and the 6, you put Rod Smith. You put it in a cup. You shake it up. You roll it out. And whoever lands up is who you start. It's impossible to tell right now.
Here's my question.
The tea leaves are Morris.
Yes.
That would make sense. But just add all of them and just wait and see.
The real question is, did you play Dungeons & Dragons as a child?
I did play some.
Obviously.
Because the fact Nerd. That you called it a six-sided die instead of just a die...
Well, that's a. It's also.
Indicates that
some people don't.
You played with that old
D20,
man.
Some people get confused if you just say grab a die, like uh-huh. what? And also, this is radio. Like what? Some tie dye? Some colors? Am I mixing something up?
Oh my god! No, I don't. I'm relatively confident no one would confuse that unless.
I think so.
Unless you play Dungeons and Dragons, which I did as well.
It's fun, man.
You know, you got to throw that old D20.
Nerds.
What?
Nerds.
Yeah,
nerds.
Oh, geez. All right. Stupid Muppets over here across the table from us.
Nerds.
Oh, man. Okay, all right. They're giving each other fist bumps. This is ridiculous. All right, let's talk about the Dallas offense, though. All right, so Zeke has been – he was the cornerstone of that offense, man. I mean, he mm-hmm. got unbelievable amount of touches. He picked up steam certainly in the last few weeks here, and really the offense flowed through Ezekiel Elliott. But now he is gone. Even if it is Alfred Morris, even if it is Darren McFadden, as we've highlighted many times, this is not the same Dallas offensive line. I don't imagine the offense would flow through the running game, especially when you got a guy like, you know, Dak out there. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question to you, Matt Harmon, would be, all right, so what do the fantasy prospects hold now for Dak and Dez?
You know, it's a good question because I think Dak is a great, great quarterback. I think he's their best player on offense. I think he's a much more important player than Ezekiel Elliott. And I know some people will disagree, but I mean, yeah. It's a quarterback versus a running back. And to me, I will always side with the great quarterback
sure.
there. So I think he's the most important player of their offense. I think this puts a lot on his shoulders, but I think he can handle it. The question is the rest of the passing attack, because if you look beyond Dez and Jason Witten to a certain extent, none of these guys are real inspiring. I mean, Cole Beasley's barely doing anything. You know, you've got Terrence Williams and Bryce Butler kind of fighting for reps at the number two receiver position. This is not an offense that's necessarily built to open up. I think they will still be ground and pound based, but if you look at their schedule, it is really appealing for passing. I mean, they get the Chiefs, who just give it up to wide receivers. I think this is going to be a big Dez week. Then they go to Atlanta. They face Philadelphia. They face the Chargers. They face Washington and then New York. And then they round out with the Raiders and Seahawks to end the fantasy season. A lot of those games are they could be high-scoring contests. They could be contests against secondaries that struggle. So I think this is a really good spot for both Dak and Dez.
If I could throw this out there, am I crazy to think – and again, you talk about you know, trying to still keep the ball on the ground, but I just don't know if they're going to be as effective doing that, right? So am I crazy to think that somebody like Cole Beasley would have a lot more value, especially in PPR, because they want to keep the chains moving and keep that short passing game almost as an extension of their run game?
That's logical, but Cole Beasley just hasn't had as big of a role as he did last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it would necessarily be him, or if they'd get Bryce Butler more work, or if they'd be doing – Terrence Williams on some crossing routes, as we've seen a handful of times. So it's like somebody else could rise up in this passing attack, but it's impossible to say who that might be right now.
Yeah, he has not had a game over 40 yards receiving, that being Cole Beasley, and has seen more than 6 targets just once all year.
Very disappointing after like how good he was last year and like how consistent to just see him not used as much.
Yeah, it'll really have to be a situation where they go super pass heavy, I think, for Beasley to be involved. And I just don't see that happening. I mean, the offensive line, as you mentioned, has not been as good this year in terms of run blocking, but they have gotten better the last 2 games, obviously facing San Francisco and a banged-up Washington front. That helps, but
that
nevertheless, I think they will still want to be based on the ground game.
Kelvin Benjamin shockingly traded at the deadline from Carolina to Buffalo. What does it mean for Kelvin Benjamin Matt franchise?
I think in the short term.
Oh, before you jump into that, just as of note as well, I know some of these people, I know some of the listeners pick up the podcast on Friday. TNF, it is Buffalo versus the Jets. But just for the Thursday listeners, again, what does the KB trade to Buffalo mean?
Right. I think in the short term, meaning week 9, Thursday night, Benjamin's role will be limited at best.
Extremely
like he just got to the team, you know.
Right. 2 days ago.
There are reports that the team wants to plug him in the X receiver spot right away, which means good things for guys like Zay Jones, who struggled. Jordan Matthews plays out of the slot.
Right.
But this offense isn't a pass first offense. It runs through LeSean McCoy. Tyrod Taylor runs the ball himself. So I think Benjamin, you know, even if he is the number one target there, I don't think it's a huge change, like upgrade in his value. I think it's more of a lateral move.
I agree with that. I think for fantasy purposes, it's at least a lateral move.
I think it's good for Tyrod Taylor for the rest of the season once they get Benjamin plugged in there, because, you know, they lost Charles Clay.
Right.
He might be back in a few weeks, but Ty God has a pretty good matchup schedule the rest of the season, and if they can get Kelvin Benjamin out there and integrated in this offense, I like Tyrod.
And he's been playing
Tyrod's
well
upside.
With Zay Jones catching like one out of every 50 passes.
Yeah, yeah, he's been producing.
Deontay Thompson legitimately coming off the NFL waiver wire
that's
one
right.
weekend and
no,
going,
that's
for,
right.
going for 100 yards the next weekend.
Yeah.
So this is great news for Tyrod Taylor. If you'd picked him up and been streaming, like,
yeah.
He, and his franchise said he's got a pretty cushy schedule the rest of the way. I think you could be in for a nice upgrade here.
Harmon, I'm getting the feeling that you're not terribly excited about Kelvin Benjamin in Buffalo.
I'm not. I think it's a downgrade for his fantasy value.
Interesting.
For one, because, look, we've been talking about this all year, but receivers changing teams, there's not a great history for it. I mean, this year there's so many examples with Sammy Watkins, Alshon Jeffrey, et cetera, even Jeremy Maclin hasn't really picked it up in Baltimore. Pierre Garçon has been up and down in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's just not a situation where you can just jump in like a running back and just, all right, we're still going to give you touches and you're just going to go do your thing. Like, you've got to learn the route combinations. You've got to get timing with the new quarterback. That's a lot to ask for a receiver getting traded in the middle of the season. Not to mention Buffalo is 31st in pass play percentage. We know they want to run the ball. I don't think this is good news for his overall volume, that being Kelvin Benjamin. I think it's a good move for Buffalo. I think they needed help. Obviously, I think it is an upgrade for Tyrod Taylor, because at worst, I think we could see Benjamin in red zone packages right away.
100%.
Right.
They don't have a threat like that. It's definitely a good move for those guys, but for Kelvin Benjamin in particular, he's been pretty steady. I think he was having his best year in Carolina, which just makes it all the more fascinating that they traded him.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit later why I think this, you know, from a quarterback wide receiver perspective, it's a little bit of a clunky fit anyways. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a downgrade for him in fantasy, and I'm pretty confident in that.
The thing, though, is, like, he was having a solid year in Carolina, but he'd only gone over 70 yards three times. And if he can come in and just especially be that red zone monster for them and
– yeah.
catch a few slant routes or few, you know, his typical routes for like 40 yards and a touch. It's been a pretty lateral move for fantasy.
Yeah, he's also dealing with a knee injury, and he only had 2 touchdowns this year there. So I think he was just kind of brought down by the entire Carolina offense in general.
Okay.
I wouldn't say he's having his best year there. I mean, he had 9 touchdowns in 2014. So
there you go. Devin Funchess, what does it mean for his fantasy value franchise? We'll stay with you.
Upgrade for Funchess.
Yeah, big time.
All the targets, all the red zone targets. Maybe Greg Olsen comes back later in the season, but they say they want to get more speed on the outside. Maybe like Curtis, they use Curtis Samuel or a guy like Russell Shepard, but who really knows? I think it's a downgrade for Cam Newton.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. But if I could provide a little bit of hope, I think on the outside there, it's, you know, the GM talks specifically about getting speed out on the outside, and they invested a high draft pick in Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
So then I start thinking about Russell Shepard as well. He's such a terrific special teams player,
mm-hmm.
and he's been known as a great special teams player over the last few years. So it seemed redundant to have Curtis Samuel playing so many special team snaps
mm-hmm.
and Russell Shepard also being a great special teams player as well. It just seemed redundant there in Carolina, and then it was redundant there on the outside as well with Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess. Again, I think most people were surprised they decided to move Kelvin instead of Devin, but
right.
it's the move they made.
It's the contracts.
If they move Curtis Samuel to the outside, The one thing that does intrigue me, though, is that Devin Funchess is actually a top 12 player in terms of air yards.
Yeah.
So a lot of the outside receivers do have very deep routes. If that's Curtis Samuel out there, and Cam does his Cam thing, which is just launch it deep downfield.
Play bad.
I play bad.
Wow.
Jeez. I'm actually hopeful, or at least maybe not hopeful, but I think it's intriguing anyways to see Curtis Samuel streaking down the sideline versus Devin Funchess.
I have concerns with Samuel because, I mean, the dude was a running back last year, and they did invest a high draft pick in him, but, like, he's still converting from running back to wide receiver.
That's true, too.
He played some wide receiver at Ohio State. Yes, this is true. But
he's a hybrid player, yeah.
He's a hybrid player. I would expect Russell Shepard, honestly, to come in a little more, at least in the short term, because he's played, like, 68% of his snaps in the slot for Carolina, but last year at Tampa Bay, he was, like, a 60-plus percent out
on the
wide
outside,
player.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can play there. I mean, he caught that touchdown there in, what, like, week one, that random, when we all remembered that Russell Shepard was
even on
the Panthers. So, like, he can work outside.
Okay.
He can get deep, too. But I don't know. This move really does not get me excited about anybody in the Panthers offense the rest of the way.
They said they want to put more speed on the outside, which will help the run game because the run game's so bad. But I don't understand how jettisoning Kelvin Benjamin will help the run game.
What a convoluted way to think about the run game, too.
Isn't that weird?
It's like, we're going to get rid of a big-bodied wide receiver.
Right, right.
And that's going to help our run game. I swear to God. Well, it's like, man, you got to walk me through that logic, man.
Unless they
Kelvin Benjamin
move.
Was their best vertical threat, too.
Yeah.
Devin Funchess caught, per Next Gen stats, Devin Funchess caught 0 of 10 deep targets.
Oh.
Zero of 10?
Kelvin Benjamin's gone 4 for 6, and the only player with a touchdown, he has had 2 deep touchdowns. Ed Dixon's 2 for 5. Christian McCaffrey's 1 for 3, and everybody else is 0 for 4. It's been awful in the deep pass game in Carolina, and Kelvin Benjamin was definitely their best deep threat. I don't know. I'm not excited about anybody in the wake of this trade. I mean, Devin Funchess, the volume is definitely going to be there. I kind of wish he had been playing better the last few weeks.
That's going to be such a tilt-a-whirl when you start him and you see him get 14 targets and catch five passes for 52 yards.
I hope two of them are in the end zone.
And Curtis Samuel, like, not only is he making the switch to, like, a full-time receiver role, he also was not involved in training camp hardly at all because of a hamstring injury. And he's been in and out of the lineup with that this season, too. I think, you know.
Isn't he only like 5'11"?
He's small.
Yeah.
He's a small guy.
Oh, he's 196.
I mean, he's got legit game-breaking ability and
whatever,
but, I mean, it's a tough ask for him to suddenly become an outside receiver. I definitely, like, want to monitor him and see how it goes, see what his usage is like this next week, and then maybe we talk about picking him up next week.
Okay.
But I really think the only player that this really does benefit, other than Devin Funchess with volume, is Christian McCaffrey, who's like – is he going to catch 10 passes a game now?
Exactly. Devin Funchess is going to get 14 targets, and McCaffrey's going to get 11 again.
This offense is lost. I mean, it's just lost in the wilderness right now. I don't think they have an identity. I think they've just traded one of their best players. They get Greg Olsen back, and their quarterback is playing like crap. So what are we really excited about here?
It's weird.
It's crazy, though, because it's the highs and lows of a Cam Newton-led offense. I mean, 3 weeks ago we weren't saying this.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
they
a
were
total
setting the
boom
world
bust
up.
Player.
Exactly.
You can either expect him to go out and make your day or ruin your day if you're a fantasy player.
I feel as if, you know, the whole Cam Newton experience, it's like I can't even commit myself to saying he's playing poorly because maybe he just had a bad game.
I can commit myself to saying he's playing poorly.
Over
the last 3 weeks.
The last 3 weeks, he's averaging 201 passing yards a game with 2 touchdowns and 6 picks. The only reason he's kept afloat his fantasy value is because he has 165 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown in that span.
Yeah. And it's not all his fault. Like I said, this offense is just lost. I mean, they can't pass protect at all.
Left tackle's been an issue. Trey Turner, who's a Pro Bowler, also
left tackle's an issue, and that's their fault for signing Matt Khalil and making him like an unquestioned starter. That is their fault.
All right, there you go. Man, we have pounded this offense hard.
Good.
Keep pounding.
Very timely.
Well done.
That's good. That's good. Wow. Jimmy Garoppolo's in San Francisco
now.
Oh,
God.
What a crazy trade. The most ironic part about the whole Jimmy G trade, by the way, is the fact that it was not announced on Instagram. Remember that random
someone
Jimmy
hacked his account.
His friend, him and his friend got super faded, and his friend just grabbed his phone.
No, it was hacked.
Yeah, okay. It was hacked. My bad.
I like this trade, by the way, though.
I love the trade.
It's very smart.
I love the trade for both sides.
They get a quarterback for a second round pick. They get him for like the back half of the season. He's going to be an improvement over CJ Beathard. Like, that's not hard.
Kyle Shanahan doesn't know when he's going to play.
Right.
Okay, Kyle.
Well, he needs to learn the offense.
San Francisco has their bye next week, right? Yeah, so he's going to be here for a week. They'll have their bye. He'll start sooner than they think he's going to start.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, we have a New England Patriots fan here.
Oh, we do.
Are you sad to see Jimmy G and his handsomeness leave New England?
Well, yeah, it's sad.
Handsomeness is sad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, our team's stacked handsome-wise. So we don't need to.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Patriots.
There needs to be some balance.
Just so we're clear, Garoppolo is way more handsome than Tom Brady.
Yes. Can't legally say that out loud. Legally. But
it's a violation of your contract.
I understand where you're coming from.
Okay. I'll take that as a yes.
If that makes sense.
Okay. I have good taste in men.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. We're going to get off of the whole Instagram thing.
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco, how does that impact, again, I know he's not going to play this week, they got the bye, but I'm saying moving forward, how does it impact Pierre Garçon?
You got to feel good about Pierre Garçon. I mean, he had been getting some volume, but quarterback, we have to watch his injury. He hasn't practiced all week with a neck injury, yeah. So he might not play this week. But if he can come in and get a rapport with Garoppolo, I mean, we've known Garçon to be able to produce with a plethora of quarterbacks throughout his career. So if you had been worried about it, I think you can stay pat with Garçon.
Yeah.
And a better passing game will help, like, you know, as we always say, like, all ships in the harbor will rise with the high tide. So it's good news for Carlos Hyde. Maybe George Kittle gets back on the radar a little bit.
The Kitty Hawk, let's go.
Yeah.
Seattle traded Jeremy Lane and some late picks to Houston to get left tackle Dwayne Brown.
I don't think Jeremy Lane was a part of that because
he failed his physical. So it's just draft picks.
It's in the rundown. Lane failed his physical, so he goes back to Seattle.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, guys.
I don't know.
Let the man speak.
I don't know what his problem
is. Let him get a sentence out before you roast him.
Lane then failed his physical, so he goes back to Seattle. With Houston getting another pick. All right, Brown is 32 years old.
Did you know that he'd failed his physical?
Jeez.
Brown is 32, considered one of the better O-linemen in the league. I think it's a good move. It's a sensible move for Seattle because, obviously, they needed help. I'm assuming it means more consistent play for Russell Wilson. But I don't know. I'd love to just at least – you know, talk about the run game a little bit there.
Very bad.
In Seattle.
It's very bad.
It's not good.
There is some Eddie Lacy hype out there on the streets, though.
There's been Eddie Lacy hype like four times this season.
Yeah. Pete Carroll says he wants to give him the bulk of the carries this Sunday. We'll see what happens.
A couple weeks ago, I saw a report from one of the Seattle newspapers that, like, the coaches thought Rawls was trying to do too much. But, like, these guys have had no chance.
They've had no chance.
Rawls has been legit bad, though. Yeah. I mean, he's screwed himself on several occasions.
Yeah.
Big-time mistakes.
And he doesn't have any patience. I think he's just trying to hit the big play every time. And it's not showing.
That is one thing that Lacy has demonstrated in his career, though, is patience. It doesn't always work because he's a big back. And like when he's a bum angle and he's not very fast.
And when there's a guy on top of you when you're getting the ball.
Not good.
But I will say, as of last night, it's about 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, I think. Or maybe East, I don't know. The only legitimate time zone, Pacific time.
Pacific, definitely.
The OC, Darrell Bevel, said he confirmed Eddie Lacy will start. And their plan is to, quote, ride Lacy and see where it goes from there.
I mean, that's the best thing they can do.
That
right
means
now.
11 carries for Lacy and 11 carries for Rawls. And you're going to hate yourself if you start either one of them.
I don't think you want to start either one of them, but I did make a couple speculative ads with Eddie Lacy.
Sure.
See what happens.
Okay. I will say, I feel like franchise feels hurt by this backfield because every year he's been hyping up one of their backs.
Nobody's.
It had worked for a while, and now look at it.
Now I've been betrayed. The Seattle backfield is attacking me. I feel attacked.
By the way, shout out to the guy that tweeted at you and said he used I feel attacked.
In class.
That's pretty
unbelievable.
Great.
Can we just get CJ ProSize back and let him save us all?
No.
He's not a real person.
He's made of glass. Whatever.
He's a ghost.
By the way, I'm looking at the rundown. We don't have Jay Ajayi on the rundown. We should probably talk about that, right?
Oh my God. How did I miss that one? Jay Ajayi
got
traded.
What a professional.
Doesn't even know Jeremy Lane failed his physical.
Idiot. I'm I have a Dwayne Brown, Jeremy Lane info tag in here, and I don't have Jay Ajayi going to Philadelphia. What the hell is wrong with me?
Well,
Jay Ajayi got traded to Philadelphia. Again, I would imagine that I think it's a great move for Jay Ajayi. I think it's a terrific move for Jay Ajayi, going from Miami, which is one of the worst offenses in the NFL, to Philadelphia, which is literally one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Upgrade.
Just a gargantuan upgrade. Matt Harmon, I'll let you get into the next-gen stats here for Jay Ajayi, because the next-gen stat metrics for him, they look pretty good. I don't think he's particularly, quote-unquote, lost a step.
Yeah, so last season in 2016, we talked about on the previous week's podcast the yards after close and yards before close.
Right.
In 2016, Jay Ajayi averaged 4.67 yards after defenders came within a yard of him, and that was the fourth best among running backs with 100 carries. I mean, that is what he's good at, is breaking tackles. This year, he's definitely off that pace. He averages 3.5 yards, and that's 21st among running backs with 60-plus carries this season. So he's definitely off his own pace. Also, the Miami run blocking is not too good, but neither is the Philadelphia one. I think it's still a below-average unit. But as you mentioned, I think for fantasy, the brass tacks here is the fact that he's going from the worst offense in the NFL, playing for a coach that did not hide the fact that he does not like this guy. He now going to a team that is one of the best offenses of the NFL. There's going to be a lot of touchdown upgrades.
He didn't like him last year either.
They're the only offense in the league that hasn't scored 100 total points yet.
Yeah,
no rushing touchdown. Amazing.
They're so bad.
They're awful, and it's a good thing their head coach is really showing a lot of leadership to throw everybody but himself under the bus.
They're averaging 13 points a game.
What was that?
Yeah, so in the NFL, right?
What's the NGS number again?
3.5 this season. So the NFL averages 3.7.
So, but bottom line is, for that number to be that high is actually, I think, a good solid testament to Jay Ajayi still being able to break tackles every now and again. Yeah, do what he can. What I'm saying is that 3.5 number, and again, it's 3.5 yards after a defender gets to within 1 yard. Why is that number important? Because, well, listen, I mean, you could see a defender in the backfield. If you're still being able to generate basically 3.5 yards on your own, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And those numbers, by the way, before close, after close, they work together, especially for a guy. You know, I think about speed guys like Shady. It really works for them because once they start to get a little bit of that build-up speed, it's game over. But any running back, those numbers are going to work together as well. And bottom line is, it's an upgrade for Jay Ajayi. I'm extremely excited to think about what will happen in Philadelphia for him. But while we're in that backfield, what does it mean for LeGarrette Blount?
Sure. I was just going to say the one downgrade for Ajayi is the volume. He's not going to get like 25 touches a game because it's more of a committee. And the Eagles have been running a committee since Doug Peterson took over this backfield. It's been unpredictable. They base it on game flow, which is why sometimes you'll see LeGarrette Blount, you know, get a bunch of carries in the second half if they're leading. Sometimes it'll be Wendell Smallwood. You know, they lost Darren Sproles, who was playing 50% of the snaps before he went out.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, I think until Ajayi gets there, gets integrated, and maybe shows that he is actually better than LeGarrette Blount, which I think we can all agree he is. He's a more well-rounded, he's a three-down back. People have this narrative that he can't catch passes. He can catch passes out of the backfield.
Bro, LeGarrette Blount caught a touchdown this year.
So I don't think that if the Eagles thought that they could, you know, they're 7-1. They're the best team in the NFL right now with their record. They want to make a run here in the playoffs. I don't think if they thought LeGarrette Blount could carry them through this season, I don't think they would have made a move like this.
Right. I think the way to think about this is that Jay Ajayi at his best is like a souped-up version of LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
Because Blount is, we talk about yards after close, Blount actually leads all running backs in average yards after close.
That's
amazing. He's been great. He's that type of guy that when you can get him into the second level, like people think of him as like a big pounded-out back, but he's not really a grinder. I mean, he's a guy that needs to get in the second level and then makes defenders miss. He's always been that guy, even going back to like his rookie year with Tampa Bay and everything like that.
For sure.
Now I think they have the guy that would be an upgraded version of that. That being said, I really don't want to play Jay Ajayi this week with Denver coming around. We don't know. I mean, there's a I think there's a chance that he could come out and have a good game and maybe score a touchdown, but I'd rather just not get involved with that.
Let's see. Let's let him get acclimated and see how it happens. And Denver, aside from the Orleans Darkwa game, has just
shut down,
crushed,
destroyed every running
all the other top running backs.
Zeke, Kareem Hunt, Shady McCoy, like literally every good running back that has run against them except Orleans Darkwa
Philadelphia
has been shut down.
And Philadelphia is transitioning now. Jason Peters gone for the season, torn ACL, and so they're kind of reshuffling that offensive line. I still think they've got talent there, but again, it's going to take time for them to gel. All right, let's talk about players to drop. Marcus Grant pens a column every single week. You can find it at NFL.com/Grant. He gives you a handful of players he believes, high-profile players that he believes are now worth dropping off of your fantasy rosters. And obviously he's addressing more like 10 or 12 team leagues, but one of the we'll talk about two guys here, two high profile guys that really stood out to me. But Rob Kelly was one of his top guys. He says you could go ahead and drop Rob Kelly, and this is a quote from his column. Quote, Rob Kelly averaged just 8 touches per game over his last 3 contests. I did not realize his volume was that low in Washington. I just wanted to get a sense of, does anyone have any hope for a possible turnaround for Rob Kelly? Because, again, keep in mind he is coming back off of injured ribs.
I'm like less than optimistic because this offense runs better when Chris Thompson gets more volume.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
They have so many injuries along their offensive line. Like, some of those guys might return, but for a guy like Rob Kelly's a fine player. I mean, he's performed better this year than Samaje Perine, but like,
it's not saying much.
He needs good blocking and stuff like that. And for him to only probably get 12 to 14 carries a game behind a banged up offensive line and a pass first offense, it's just, you're really, really, really banking on a touchdown.
I think against Dallas, 4 of their 5 starting offensive linemen were hurt.
Oh, yeah. It was nuts.
3 missed the game and 1 got injured in
the game. Amazing.
And Kelly scored a touchdown in that game, but he
like the first drive.
Yeah, but he had like 7 points or
just
something.
Not a lot going on.
Yeah.
He also says, drop Martellus Bennett, to which I say, sad.
Very sad.
I mean, I'm just
trying
to.
You were driving that hype train this offseason.
Yes, absolutely. I was like searching my emotions. I felt some sadness there, some remorse. But yes,
he's done nothing all year.
I would agree with that. All right, so let's get into trade calls.
Trade call.
NFL.com/trade calls.
Sure.
We have the writer of trade calls as well. We do.
Verizon's here.
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
All right, Verizon tries. Take it away.
written by Verizon.
Oh, man.
That's one of those jokes. Yeah, I was going to say, like, nobody's going to get it.
So every – the Trade Calls article is sponsored by Verizon, like Calls phone company.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yes.
So I post the article every Wednesday, and the NFL handle tweets it out. And they're always like,
in the past, they would always give us the at, like,
right. They would at the writer, right. Yeah. They would tag the writer who wrote the article in the tweet. And when the NFL handle tweets your handle, you get followers from it. You got a lot of interaction because they have 7 million followers. You get a lot of bots.
Yes.
But anyway, the last few weeks, they've been saying like, oh, read this week's trade calls via at Verizon.
Yeah, by Verizon.
But I'm like, oh, I guess Verizon wrote the article, not me.
What made it so insulting was that there's been and deservedly so because it's a good piece of content, there's been a big push behind this particular article to make it like your thing. You write the piece, you do a digital video thing, that digital video piece then airs on NFL Network on NFL Fantasy Live.
Right.
And I mean, you could definitely tell, like, you were excited about it at that moment. You know, you were like, there's a big, you know, push behind one of my piece of content. And you know, we've been joking, like, oh, it's the highest performing article of the
century.
and here's the author of it. And then the NFL handle just by Verizon. And it was very insulting. So, yeah.
It's great. So, do you feel attacked, I guess?
I feel attacked. I'm not even getting credit on social media for writing this article.
I had you back on that one. I quote tweeted, it was like, Verizon did a great job with this. And then pissed off everybody in the social team, like, well, deal with it, freaks.
Did they really get upset with you?
No, not. But like Bryce jokingly came at me about it, and then Feldman was like, "Please don't troll my team online." I'm like, "I will troll whoever I want."
Oh wow! Sanctions on your tweets.
All right. So I think the hot take in this column this week was sell Tom Brady.
Got to get clicks somehow, man. No.
It
is kind of a hot take, yes.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady has not been – he had, like, two big games to start the season.
And it's always important to note –
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Tampo, so much heat. The heat coming from Tampo.
We're talking about fantasy, Tamposi. I actually wrote in the article, he's a good real football quarterback still. The Patriots are 6-2. Like, he's
four.
I'm saying trade him in fantasy, okay?
Even her dog is
Tamposi just, like, hates me right now. All right.
But it's always important to know when franchise writes these pieces, he's saying trade, but get value.
Right.
It's
Tom
always,
Brady is
always get
he's
value.
A big brand name.
Yeah.
The Patriots on a bye right now. You can't even use him. So maybe if someone needs a quarterback in your league, you trade Tom Brady away and get them to give you value at another position that you need to make your roster a little deeper, because people are going to pay up for a guy whose name is Tom Brady.
Who would you give me a quarterback? Because you obviously need to get a quarterback back.
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
Well, no.
Well, I guess you could have a guy on the bench.
Yeah, because the reason you want to trade, like, liquidate your quarterback assets is because they just don't matter. You can easily – you can jettison Tom Brady – and then replace him, you know, by streaming or whatever. I think it's a good move to sell Brady, like you said, cash in on that name value, and then, you know, by getting a usable running back or wide receiver, which we know are just more rare assets.
Yeah, exactly. And I said sell Deshaun Watson a few weeks ago.
Same thing.
Same idea. Nobody knew he was going to have 35 points in like a month for a month straight.
Right.
But it's the same idea, like quarterbacks are, you know, they don't have as much value. So Tom Brady's averaging 16.19 fantasy points per game over the last month.
Right.
He's at 18 or fewer fantasy points in 5 of his 8 games this season. I think a lot of it has to do with the injuries in the receiving core there.
Sure.
You know, old news, Julian Edelman's out. Chris Hogan's been banged up all year.
Yeah.
He almost needed surgery on a shoulder injury. They're saying his arm's in a sling. He should be back after the bye. Hopefully, we'll see. Like, Gronk is always banged up. Danny Amendola is always banged up. I think all these injuries are adding up.
Yeah.
And Brady just isn't that fantasy-producing powerhouse we saw him as that he was last year. So
you're saying he's at his peak value right now?
Well, I'm saying sell him. Well, he's definitely not at his peak value right now because he's averaged 16 points per game over the last month. But
Still, because of his name,
you'll be able to sell him. Okay. And he has to play Denver, Buffalo, and the Steelers in the second half.
It's
so those are some rough matchups.
Like, I think he hasn't bottomed out or anything either, and people still know, like, oh, it's Tom Brady. He's produced in, like, these bad games. So it's like, for a player with the name value of Tom Brady, they have to really perform poorly in fantasy for, like, an extended period before most people are like, ooh, wow, I don't want to trade for Tom Brady. But right now, if you float out Tom Brady in the league, I mean, people picked up Josh Gordon.
Yes.
Name value means a lot.
My text chain with my friends, they were like yelling at each other because somebody was in there early to get up Josh Gordon. I'm like, you guys, what are you doing?
That's
like,
amazing.
You know, there's a Patriots fan in your league who's like, oh, man, I really want Tom Brady. Take advantage of that.
She's going to punch you in the face.
It's such a good – this is so good that Harmon is between Erica and Franchise.
I wish we were in the actual studio right now. This would have been great.
No, but you take advantage of that. No, you take advantage of fans.
So what Franchise is saying is that Tom Brady's done, and now the Patriots dynasty
read the article. I didn't actually say
because they don't even have a backup quarterback on the roster. What are they
and Brian Hoyer.
They did bring back Hoyer.
Yeah, that's true.
They signed Hoyer.
In the past.
Yeah, they signed Hoyer, so clearly they have no confidence in Tom Brady as a franchise.
Right. Okay,
that's the logic.
Why are you
that's the logic.
To that? Just...
Lovely. Absolutely.
Do you
lovely.
Want to issue a brief statement?
A statement, yeah?
No.
No, okay.
No, I don't. We're going to take this personally.
Fantasy.
After...
Oh, Tamposi was about
a
to say
joke.
We're about to take this to the streets.
I'm scared. I'm actually scared. She has her guard dog in the room.
Oh,
it's
really do.
You're about to catch them hands, Franchise.
I know.
Franchise also says buy Devontae Freeman, but I will direct you to the website to read the rest of his trade calls column, NFL.com/trade calls.
It's not NFL.com/Verizon?
It might be like next
you can
by
go
next
to your
week.
Verizon store.
Yeah,
find
just, and
copy
buy a
of the
copy.
Article.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You can
true.
Get it texted to you.
Oh, my Lord.
But standard messaging rates do apply.
NFL.com/trade calls. Thank you very much. All right, let's get to deep sleepers. Matt Harmon, kick us off.
I got a pretty deep sleeper that I've got my eye on. Lead off player in the deep dive, or headline player of the deep dive this week, Mac Hollins of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely love it.
Name drop alert, NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah. Before he tweeted this out, he actually came, we were talking in the office about Mac Hollins, and he was really adamant about the fact, like, this guy looks good for the Eagles. He thinks that his role is going to continue to grow as the season wears on.
Dude, he's a specimen, man.
He's a 6'4", 220 guy. He had that 64-yard touchdown.
That's what I'm saying.
Which was the longest completed yards of raw distance in the air this year.
What's his 40 time?
I have no idea what his 40 time is.
His 40 time is good, I'll tell you that. For his size, his 40 time is good. But anyways, obviously making plays. He has started to see his snaps grow. He played a season high in snaps last week, following the week in which he had that 64-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Torrey Smith has been good for the locker room, but I don't think he's
good for the locker room.
That's what DJ said. He's like, he was brought in for the room, and he's doing a good job with that. But so
wow.
He'll obviously see. I mean, Torrey Smith has just one catch over his last 3 weeks too. So I think he's due to see his role decrease, and a guy like Mac Hollins to continue to get more playing time. And it's worth noting that DJ nailed the Eagles wide receiver situation back in August. He said Nelson Agholor would take over as the slot receiver this season. That's exactly what has happened.
And
so,
not only did he say he was going to take the slot role, he said he was going to flourish there as well.
Yeah, both things have been true. I mean, and DJ used to work for the Eagles front office once upon a time before he came to our airwaves. So I really like this call by him. It's a super deep pickup. I don't know. You're obviously not going to be playing him this week against Denver. And even if you're in like a 10 to 12 team league, I don't think this is somebody you need to rush out and get. But you know, playing dynasty, deeper formats, definitely somebody to keep an eye on.
For the record, he's 6'4", like 223, and ran a 4.5 3.40.
Jeez.
That's great for that.
The trouble was, because I remember watching him at UNC, and I thought he looked good. But the trouble was he had had a bunch of injuries that had really limited his production. His final year,
and he had a bad quarterback.
Yeah, he had 16 catches for 309 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Sorry, I was trolling.
It was good trolling.
Matt Franchise, what you got?
I'm going to go with Rod Smith here. I know we already talked about him, but I think he is going to emerge in this Dallas backfield. Everyone's going after Morris. Everyone's going after Darren McFadden. Rod Smith is only owned in like 5% of leagues right now.
I like that too.
7 catches for 57 yards in the preseason. He's played some third down snaps behind Zeke already this year. You know how McFadden's like a taller running back,
indeed,
like runs upright?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Rod Smith is even bigger. He's 6'3", 235. He's the biggest back.
He was a fullback briefly.
Right. He's the biggest back on the roster, and I think
6'3", 235. He's a massive human.
There was a report out on Roto-World yesterday that players on the team say he's the most underrated player on the offense.
Okay.
So I think pick up Rod Smith, man. I know we already talked about this a lot.
I like it. Wiz, what you got?
It's not as deep as like these guys in name value, but fantasy-wise, like nobody's been trusting the Baltimore passing attack.
No one.
I think this could be a great week if somebody has cast off Jeremy Maclin in your league.
Never heard of him.
Or if he has been on your bench to plug him in and play.
Okay.
Last week
he's widely available, I think.
I think he is. Last week on Thursday Night Football, before Joe Flacco went down with his concussion, mm-hmm, he and Maclin had hooked up on 3 of 4 targets for 53 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
like they were cooking, and now they get the Titans pass defense, which is just bad.
That's a good point.
So Flacco has had 10 days. He's been practicing all week, should get cleared from the concussion protocol. If he does not play, don't play Maclin. But if he does, I think Maclin's a great, especially with just a million teams.
I think
on
he's
by.
Already cleared. I think Flacco cleared.
Flacco did clear.
Flacco
okay,
cleared.
Yeah. Last I saw, he hadn't. But so he's a great one to just pick up and play right away.
Cleared to be elite.
Deep sleeper from me, Curtis Samuel, for all the reasons we highlighted before. All right,
Word.
Let's get into NGS. This week we're talking about tight window throws. I guess explain to me what tight window throws are, Matt Harmon.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite next-gen stats that we have because I think, you know, this is more like a grand view topic of NGS in general, but I think the data is at its best when it can help us quantify things that we already like talk about. And everybody talks about tight window throws, but now with the tracking chips in the player's shoulder pads, we can obviously objectively measure, you know, when a quarterback is throwing to receiver who has less than a yard of separation from the defenders covering him. So that's what NGS quantifies as a tight window throw. This week, I think an applicable situation to look at is the difference between Cam Newton and Tyrod Taylor throwing into tight windows. Cause obviously Kelvin Benjamin, not really known as a natural separator.
Nope.
His 2.89 yards of separation on all of his routes falls below the NFL average of 2.9. That's actually up from his 2.6 from last year, so I guess that's worth noting. But over 31% of Benjamin's targets in Carolina have come in tight coverage.
Okay.
And now what's interesting about that is Tyrod Taylor has thrown just 13.3% of his passes into tight coverage this season. That's the fifth lowest in the NFL. Clearly, he's not a guy that likes to drill those tight window throws. And that's continuing from last season when his 14% of tight window passes was the third fewest among qualifying quarterbacks. So it does make them, to me, seem like on the surface a bit of a clunky fit. Now, but what's interesting is that Taylor's been super effective throwing into tight windows this season. He has the seventh highest passer rating and the second best yards per attempt at 7.1. So I think that with a new weapon, perhaps we could see him be more willing to throw into those tight windows. I mean, and he's throwing to, you know, to guys like Zay Jones and Andre Holmes and whatever, these goofball wide receivers in tight coverage. So, and additionally, going back to the Carolina side, Cam Newton has been one of the worst throwing into tight windows. He's thrown 19% of his passes into tight windows this season. That's actually down from when he led the NFL at 24% last season.
Yeah.
But he has the 23rd best yards or per completion percentage into tight windows, 28th in yards per attempt, and 31st in passer rating with 33.6. So
bad.
There's a lot I can kind of talk about. I feel like I saw every reaction possible to this Kelvin Benjamin trade, not from a fantasy perspective, but from just a real life, you know, what does it mean for both teams?
Okay.
And I feel like I can kind of, even just with this stat, talk myself into both sides. You know, I do think that it could be a potential quarterback upgrade, honestly, for Kelvin Benjamin going from Cam Newton to Tyrod Taylor, because Newton just has not shown that ability to throw into tight windows, whereas Tyrod Taylor in limited looks has.
And from a real life perspective, I think about what Buffalo wants to get done offensively. I mean, this is a run heavy team, obviously. Kelvin Benjamin, you talk about these tight windows. Defenses are going to be almost forced to go single coverage on Kelvin Benjamin, just because, again, it's not like you're going to be sliding a safety over to stop Kelvin Benjamin when LeSean McCoy is out there just mashing everybody up front. So, I don't know. You know, I love the tight window, you know, NGS stat. And for me, I think you're right. I think it's an upgrade for him at quarterback. And I wonder, too, if it's going to be favorable from him from a real-life fantasy perspective, a real-life football perspective, just given the overall scheme fit. So we will move on. Let's talk about EDG, every damn game. If you want to get the fantasy matchups and you need that info in your life, and why would you not? Go to NFL.com/fantasy matchups. Again, it's NFL.com/fantasy matchups. Let's go to the early games. It is an NFC South battle. It's the Buccaneers taking on New Orleans. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
Yeah, this is projected to be a pretty high-scoring game because both offenses are pretty good and both defenses are mediocre at best.
Yes, indeed.
So you're probably pretty much just starting everyone you have that's a major fantasy player in this game. It's a good spot for Doug Martin, who's been mediocre the last few weeks. You're going to fire up Mike Evans. Cameron Brate's been one of the most consistent tight ends in fantasy.
Right?
Yeah. You're probably going to start Jameis Winston with six teams on bye.
Got to watch his injury status, though, just in case.
Yeah, I saw a thing on RotoWorld. Yeah, he said he feels better. But the other thing with Winston is he's very turnover prone. So he has eight turnovers, six picks, two fumbles lost in the seven games the Bucs have played, which kind of creates a nice upside for the Saints defense.
Who've been playing a lot better.
Yeah. You're going to start Drew Brees. But as James Coe pointed out in Coe Knows, NFL.com/Coe Knows, the Saints have been much more run heavy this season. So I think you can safely start Ingram and Kamara. The Bucs defense isn't great. And another maybe sleeper kind of guy, our buddy over at NumberFire, J.J. Zacharyson, mentioned that he likes Ted Ginn this week.
Ted Ginn?
Because the Bucs have a bottom five secondary. Brent Grimes is injured, might not play. You're obviously risking the Ginn drop scenario,
indeed,
but you kind of know that going in, and six teams are on bye, you might need help at wide receiver.
I like it, man. I like it a lot, as a matter of fact. All right, L.A. Rams taking on the New York Football Giants. Gelhard, what do you got?
All right, so real quick, we'll get the Giants out of the way. The only two players you should feel confident starting are Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram.
I'm really excited to see what Sterling Shepard does
back
as the number one.
It's good news. As I said last on Monday's podcast, the Giants wide receivers, three of them over two games, seven catches, 67 yards. Abysmal. Evan Ingram's an every week play at tight end these days. I think Darkwa is a decent start, especially with six teams on bye. No, the Rams give up the six most rushing yards per game to opposing backs.
Okay.
Darkwa is the leader. he's been playing like 48% of the snaps, and then the other guys are splitting the other like 50%, like 20-20 kind of situation. So
right.
He's a standard league play, though. Like PPR, there's probably better pass catching backs you could target in higher scoring games. But
yes.
That's it for the Giants there. We don't need to discuss anybody else. And then on the flip side, I think Goff's a pretty good streamer this week. The Giants have been giving up a bunch of points. We mentioned Tyler Higbee as well. They've given up touchdowns to tight ends every week.
Yeah.
And then I think this could be a decent spot for like all of the wide receivers, especially as we mentioned, so many teams on bye. Janoris Jenkins has had a team enforced suspension, so that's going to have a domino effect in the secondary.
That's right.
Don't know if Dominic Rodgers-Camardi is going to kick outside, if he's going to stay inside. They're going to play. I forget, who's the other guy they have?
Eli Apple.
Not Eli Apple, the one other than him who played the last time Rodgers-Camardi was suspended. Anyways, Sammy Watkins plays most of his snaps at the left wide receiver spot, and that's where Janoris Jenkins has primarily played. He's shadowed a little bit, but most of the time, he's
Watkins is at least playable now this week.
Right. I think he could be in the mix. Like
it's
it could
a
be
total
a,
dart throw.
It's
you
a total,
know
they're yeah. all three of them yeah. are dart throws. But I mean, Woods has been the most consistent from PPR.
Yeah.
And then Kupp is the one that finds the end zone the most. So I think they're all. I mean, and Todd Gurley, we're obviously playing him, but I think all those guys could be in the mix with six teams on bye and the Giants secondary already not being as strong as it was last year. And missing its top corner.
Strength versus strength. Denver taking on Philadelphia in Philadelphia. It's the no-fly zone versus the passing attack led by Carson Wentz. Matt Harmon, what do you see?
We've got Brock Osweiler back in our lives.
Guys. Oh, God. Very sad.
I'm pretty upset about it. I'm not going to lie. The news is distressing. I mean, it sucks for Trevor Siemian, who started off the year so
Team
hot,
Trevor.
And, yeah, Team Trev is officially in the tank.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it just sucks.
It
like,
hasn't
he just,
even been his fault, man.
No, it has. Things are going wrong around him, but, like, he just has completely lost his confidence. Like, you could see it at the end of that Kansas City game. He's, like, he just had that look about him. Like, I can like the same look that, speaking of the Eagles, Nelson Aguilar had last year when they interviewed him on the side or in the locker room. And he's, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Trevor had that same look.
I got
that,
you.
Like,
I get what you're saying.
I don't know what's going on. And so you can clearly see he's just lost his confidence and, like, it's unfortunate that they have no other alternatives to turn to but frickin' Brock Osweiler, who is just it's going to suck the life out of every offense that he ever plays in.
That's
so,
right.
Downgrade for the wide receivers.
Right, who weren't doing all that well anyways.
Right.
Emmanuel Sanders might be back in this game. Sucks that we're getting him with Brock. I mean, you're kind of just –
it's hard to sit DT and Sanders, especially
with it's basically like you're probably going to play him, but good luck to you.
Are you, though?
Floor plays?
Who are you going to play over him?
I don't know. I'd rather play Mac Hollins at this point.
Honestly,
with Brock Osweiler out there.
What is in that coffee cup?
I don't know. You know what? Maybe that's what we need to do, a beer bet. Brock Osweiler, Emmanuel Sanders. Is that what we need?
What
to
about
do?
It? Mean, what about
Mac
it?
Mac Hollins, Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, exactly. What did I say?
Yeah, give me in on that.
All right.
Great, let's go.
Oh God, I hate that I just tied a beer to Brock. Oh, anyways,
why did you do that to yourself?
Because I believe in Sanders.
Okay.
Anyways,
all right.
And I believe in targets and volume and all that crap.
All that crap.
The backfield is interesting because I think right now Devontae Booker's really trending up. He's been
good
as a receiver. He's playing a lot of snaps.
Jamaal Charles has played himself out of that backup role, man.
I think he's been all right when he's gotten touches, but. He really killed him with that fumble right away in KC.
But not only that, I mean, he's had fumbling issues this year for whatever reason. So.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but you're right. And they have no incentive to not continue to play Booker because
that's what I'm saying,
they invested draft capital in him. You know, CJ Anderson is just a guy. So I think they are going to continue to play Booker. He should be owned pretty much across all fantasy formats to me right now. And in this game, it could be interesting if the Eagles really take it to the Broncos and get ahead, and the Broncos can't put up points, he could be catching a lot of passes because that's what his role has been. So I definitely like Booker a lot in this spot. Like I said, should be owned everywhere. Eagles, you're kind of playing with fire here, starting the wide receivers. Obviously, Alshon Jeffrey had his big game last week, but still only caught 2 of 8 targets. We talked about how volatile he's going to continue to be going forward. Probably want to side against playing him, but again, 6 teams on bye. What are you really going to do?
True.
Nelson Aguilar, tough matchup. He hasn't been seeing a lot of volume.
Right.
Zach Ertz is the guy here. I mean, Travis Kelce caught all of his or got all of his targets when he was either lined up in the slot or out wide against the Broncos. Zach Ertz is second most, only to Kelce in catches when lined up in the slot or out wide. So I think he is in a great spot here. Obviously, one of the top tight end players on the board.
Absolutely.
Carson Wentz is going to be a big test for him with the offensive line injuries and the way that Denver can They're the ninth highest blitz team, and Carson Wentz's completion percentage against the blitz is one of the four is the fourth lowest among quarterbacks this year. So big test for him, but I think you're still playing Carson Wentz because he's been smashing everybody.
By the way, just a note to add on Zach Ertz's matchup: the Broncos allow the second most yards per game to tight ends, 77.6, and that's despite their Week One game against the Chargers when Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry were just non-existent.
This is what teams like. The Jaguars are this way too. Baltimore, to a certain extent, is like this. And Denver's another one that when they have these great perimeter corners, and in Denver's case, even a really great slot corner, teams attack them by just going up the middle. Even if they're not they have good coverage players there, they don't want to throw into the teeth of the defenses outside. And New York was this way last year when they had Janoris Jenkins playing at peak form, that you could really beat him up with the tight end. So I think it's something when you see these teams with these good outside cornerbacks, you want to think about playing tight ends against them because that's how teams are showing that they game plan for those defenses.
The Colts taking on the Houston Texans. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
Yeah, the Texans are on fire and they're coming back home. So you're starting all four of Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, and Lamar Miller.
Yep.
Not much analysis. That offense is cooking. So
what are you doing with the Colts?
Jacoby Brissett, I had him as a streamer.
I kind of like
him
here.
He's been pretty good in favorable matchups, and the Texans secondary presents a favorable matchup.
Exactly.
So he's a streamer if you need help with 16s on by. I think I would roll Marlon Mack out there. Scored a touchdown last week. Has two double-digit games since coming back from injury. I think he's more explosive, has more upside than Frank Gore. And T.Y. Hilton's been a ghost the last 3 weeks.
Right.
There was a report that they need to get him the ball. Obviously, they need to get him the ball. Who knows if it'll be this week, but against the Houston secondary, kind of like it.
Can I just say, incredible like damage control attempt by Indianapolis that they openly put T.Y. Hilton on the trade market, and then literally after the trade deadline passed, they had a press conference saying, we need to get T.Y. Hilton the ball more.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm like, okay.
Just to add in this note, I don't put a ton of stock into these game splits, but Hilton has just mashed the Texans over his career. He averages just shy of 6 catches for 94 yards, and 7 of his 31 career touchdowns, nearly 23%, have come against Houston.
But I agree with you. Normally, I don't put like a lot of stock into that, but there is, I think, I do when there's a reason for it, and I think there's a reason for this one because the Texans play inside, and T.Y. also smashes when he's at home as opposed to on the road when he's outside on grass or whatever. Right. So I think that's just an extension of that.
Yeah.
And just one more thing. Jack Doyle, I think, is the most reliable pass catcher in Indy right now. 32 targets, 25 catches, 215 yards, and 2 touchdowns over his last
three
games.
What was that game where he couldn't catch a damn thing?
That was Monday night against the Titans.
And I completely rage-dropped him in so many leagues.
He did get a touchdown that
game.
But he had, like 14 targets last week?
Yeah.
We talked about it Monday. But
Never rage-drop, bro.
I know. I'm so upset with myself.
Rage-chise.
In the later games, we got Washington taking on Seattle in the Pacific Northwest. Alex Gilhart, what do you got?
I think this is a sneaky shootout game as well because Earl Thomas feels like seems like a long shot to play
after he pulled
his hamstring. I mean, he's like a super long shot, which is good news for Kirk Cousins and them because hold on, where is that stat? Okay, so with Thomas on the field, Seahawks have allowed 16 passing touchdowns and picked off 17 passes on about 650 pass attempts since 2016.
Okay.
Without Thomas, they've allowed 9 touchdowns and just 2 picks on under 200 passing plays.
Amazing.
So it's a huge jump in how efficient teams can be against them without Earl Thomas.
Everyone talks about Richard Sherman. Earl Thomas is the linchpin of that defense, man.
Yeah. So that's good news for Kirk Cousins. I mean, the receivers, though, like, I still don't want to trust any of them. Crowder's got a hamstring. I mean, maybe Doxson, but, like, just get Kirk Cousins. Don't worry about the pass catchers. Chris Thompson should be a good start.
Like Vernon Davis, though.
I was just going to say, Vernon Davis with Reed out. Davis, as Franchise noted in a streaming article, leads the team in receiving over the last 4 weeks.
I like it.
The middle of the field, especially with Earl Thomas out, will be a great spot for Vernon Davis, who's turning back the clock to run. And then, much like with the Texans, I mean, we don't really need to add more analysis to the Seahawks than this passing offense is on freaking fire. And, like, everybody's in play this week.
It's November, so Seahawks
Let's
trending
go.
Up.
Yep. Cards taking on the 49ers. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Woof. Well, hopefully this is one of the last times.
Yeah, this is going to be sad.
No, this is C.J. Beathard v. Drew Stanton. Yeah. I think this was the shortest amount of time it's ever taken me to write up a game in matchups.
Yeah, hopefully this is the last time we see C.J. beat hard, and we move along from that era of NFL football. But he might, like you said, might not even be the worst quarterback in this game with Drew Stanton on the other side.
Oh.
I guess you you can play Larry Fitzgerald as a volume play for with a team with all these teams on bye, but that's literally it from the Cardinals side. And then
what about Adrian Peterson? 49ers defense against the run has just been atrocious.
I see James's point because it's not like the 49ers are going to get ahead, I think, and then, you know, I could see this being a game where they just give Peterson 25 carries, and they have been really bad against the run. So I'm with you. Peterson is a good play, simply because this isn't a situation where he's going to get game scripted out.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the ball with the 49ers, if Pierre Garçon plays and he draws shadow coverage from Patrick Peterson, I think Marcus Goodwin is interesting because that's just been the trend all year is that other number two receivers rip up those secondary cornerbacks, and all it takes is one big play from Marcus Goodwin to make your week. So I think if you're desperate, again, six teams on bye, I think you definitely play Marcus Goodwin.
I don't feel great about Peterson, but if there's another encouraging fact, the Cardinals' running play percentage predictably increases with Stanton under center from about 38.5% to 44.2%.
Wow.
So
big jump.
Volume.
But, I mean, that offensive line is bad, and they're not going to respect the pass. So that's
I guess
I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
49ers banged up on defense, too. But KC taking on Dallas in Dallas. Franchise, what you got?
Fantasy points for everyone.
Yeah, man.
It's projected to be the highest scoring game of the week. Yeah. Alex Smith is, you know, he didn't have such a hot game against Denver, but, I mean, it's Denver.
It's Denver.
So you're starting Alex Smith.
He played well, just not big.
He did play well.
Right.
Kareem Hunt, only player in the NFL with over 1,000 scrimmage yards.
Amazing. Hello.
Fire him up. People are freaking out because he hasn't been scoring touchdowns, but he's still one of the high volume. You start him every week. Don't freak out. Travis Kelce leads all tight ends in receptions with 44 and receiving yards, 556. Starting Travis Kelce. I think you start Tyreek Hill, too.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about this before the pod. He's still a top 10 wide receiver in PPR and standard despite some volatility this week. He's had some very quiet weeks, but he's also had some spike weeks. So I think
you can't not play him, man.
Yeah, I think this is one of the weeks. Dallas's secondary is very questionable.
Not good.
If you look at the stats from the last 2 weeks, it shows that Dallas's defense has played better, but they've played San Francisco and a broken Washington offense.
And I think, too, this game, I think it's going to play faster. I think there's going to be more plays in this game than what you would normally expect.
For sure. And then,
I was going to say deep sleeper. Maybe DeMarcus Robinson gets back in the mix.
Didn't Albert Wilson get injured?
Well, even if Albert Wilson is out there, DeMarcus Robinson is playing so many snaps.
Yeah, he's taking Chris Conley's, like, I take a lot of snaps and really don't do much for fantasy role. But I think
basically run
be,
nine
yeah.
routes and try to get the other secondary tired.
Last week he had a target, but the 2 weeks prior he had decent volume. So
he
if
did,
this
did,
does
yeah.
turn into a shootout.
That's the type of game you'd be interested in.
Exactly, that's why I'm saying it. Dallas' secondary isn't great. They can put up points. Kansas City's secondary isn't great. If you're desperate.
Right, exactly. So you're starting Dak, you're starting Dez, and you're rolling a dice on the Dallas running backs.
Sunday night football, Oakland taking on Miami. Alex Gailhart, what do you got?
Matt Moore in this Dolphins offense, man. It's
Jay Cutler's going to be back.
Jay Cutler.
What does it matter?
Great.
Forget about Miami.
Huge upgrade.
Forget about Miami because who cares?
Devontae Parker might be back. That's
the
thing.
That is exciting. I guess like the Oakland secondary is weak, so you can start, you know, Parker.
It should be mentioned that he's coming back.
That's true.
Yeah. No, it's true. I'm just like this game it's an island game. Yeah. I'm not very excited about it.
No.
And the Miami defense hasn't been god awful. I mean, despite the fact that they got boat raced on Thursday Night Football.
They're bad pass defense.
Yeah, bad pass defense. So I think Crabtree, Cook is in a good spot. Cooper, you want to start those guys. Carr, maybe this is a chance to get back going with him. I don't really want to touch the backfield now that Marshawn Lynch is coming back because they're all going to be splitting up work.
Yeah.
And then for the Miami backs, I think I'm leaning Kenyon Drake. I know they said it's going to be a committee, but Drake was Gase's guy. He got the first reps up after that. And, like, if you want to attach yourself to one guy, at least we know he is an explosive athlete with, like, big play potential from his time at Alabama. So,
there you go.
Hey, the Raiders secondary NFL record have not intercepted a pass this week. Does Jay Cutler finally acquiesce to that request?
Wow. I don't know. Monday Night Football.
By the way,
it's an inflection
point.
Points
for you with vocab for acquiesce and garner in there.
I've been known to write words.
Okay. Monday Night Football, Detroit taking on Green Bay in Lambeau. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Detroit's offense put up a lot of yards, did not score many touchdowns there.
Stop
Zero.
Running the ball.
I don't know.
In goal to go situations, please stop.
The Lions right now are a weird offense just because I think you can play Matt Stafford in this contest just because, you know, it should be relatively good game script for him. don't want to mess around with the backfield, really only want to play Golden Tate among the pass catchers. The more interesting discussion is with Green Bay coming off a bye.
Yeah.
Do we find out if Brett Hundley is actually bad for sure in this game?
But you don't want to play Marv Jones?
He's been seeing a lot of volume, man.
Fine. I mean, fine.
It's the Green Bay secondary.
Exactly.
Fine. Whatever. If you want to play Marvin Jones, that's fine.
Six
I just,
teams are on a bye.
He's just been averaging 11 targets per game over his last three. That's pretty good.
Fine.
Yeah, Harmon.
But he only he pops up for a big game every once in a while.
I'm not saying he's efficient, but
this
you
could
know.
I mean, sure, this could be the moment. He's not a guy I'm ever like, yeah, let me get Marvin Jones into my lineup.
I got you.
You know, it just.
But you're right. I think the big storyline will be what's up with Brett Hundley.
I am not looking forward to island game tilting over Brett Hundley being the awful on national television. Or
Aaron
great.
Jones, though.
He has been awful under pressure. He hasn't completed a tight window pass yet. Brett Hundley's just not been good, but maybe coming
it's one
off.
One game.
Well, it's one and a half. But okay, I'm just saying he's not been good. That's a fact. I'm just reporting the facts. Okay. This could be a situation where he gets right coming off a bye against a secondary that is up and down. Obviously, they got ripped up for a big play from Ben Roethlisberger and Juju
Can
Smith.
Can you play Jordy Nelson given the fact that it's Brett Hundley, given the fact that Darius Slay is likely to track him?
I don't view Darius Slay as like this cornerback that I'm like afraid to play people against.
I totally hear what you're saying, but he's a high quality corner. And again, even though I have high aspirations for Brett Hundley, I mean, realistically, he's not a great quarterback, right? So if he does the smart thing, he's going to avoid that matchup.
I guess.
But if they get in the red zone, Jordy is one of the best threats.
Yeah.
Plus, the last like can, 5 years in there,
you can lock him in mostly for like to be one of the two team leaders in targets here in this game. So I think I'm going to side to play Jordy and Davante Adams too.
Okay,
yeah, I mean, there's a non-0% chance that Slay tracks Adams around the field. That
good point.
We've
Adams
seen
has
the Vikings. We've seen
Xavier
the Vikings
shatter
him.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I side with playing those guys and Aaron Jones. I mean.
Must
that's,
play.
That's the guy.
Must
that's,
play.
That's
Please.
The guy for the rest of the way.
Can I just be a total contrarian here and just I'll just throw this out into the universe? But you know, with the bye week, I'm kind of curious to see what that workload split will be with Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones, because I kind of feel like Ty kind of came back a little early from that rib injury.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's getting a little bit healthier. I wonder if he starts to sneak a few more snaps away from Aaron Jones.
It's a fine fear. I just really hope that's their job is to watch the tape, and on tape Jones is
way,
far
yes,
and away
100%.
They can find ways to use Ty Montgomery as an outlet
him.
Receiver, you know, in a theoretic type role. That's what I'm hoping to see, but I would hope.
But
that
isn't
he
that
doesn't.
Mike McCarthy ball though? Is to just split that backfield work up
go
for
back
whatever?
To,
reason.
Go back to the veteran. Well, he was always like a. I mean, Lacy would have like 200 some carries, and Starks would have like 100 mixing in.
James Starks, my God.
The Stark score, man.
Stark
That's one
score.
Of our favorites from NGS.
I love it.
Which was quick aside, if you've forgotten from last year, it was the yards run in relation to
gain,
per yard gain.
Yeah.
And Starks was like, wasn't he at like 50
for
a while?
Because he bumps everything outside.
To the sideline, and he had like that one year where he had like 12 carries for a yard, and he had ran like 50 yards per yard game.
It's amazing. Amazing. All right, if you want the rest of the matchups, go to the website. Again, NFL.com/fantasy matchups for the matchups on Atlanta versus Carolina, Cincinnati versus the Jags, and Baltimore taking on Tennessee. All right, let's close out your show with a round of daily daps.
Daps.
Daps, 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 daps,
daps.
Daps. Daps. All right, Alex Gilhart kicks off.
I'm going to give a daily dap to commas.
What?
And here's why. Okay. I don't know if you guys have seen this story. No. This is for a reason. Have seen this story going around, but apparently in Louisiana, there was a guy that was being interrogated by the police.
Yes.
And he, at the point when you request an attorney, the questioning is supposed to stop.
Yes.
And it got to the point he said, just give me a lawyer, dog. And when they wrote up that thing, the person, the clerk or whatever, did not put a comma in there.
Oh.
So then that went to the Louisiana Supreme Court, and they ruled that they were okay to continue questioning him because it was ambiguous and he could have been asking for, and I quote, a lawyer dog. Like, as in a canine to defend him, as opposed to just saying, give me a lawyer, comma, dog, as the colloquialism.
What?
This is a real honest-to-God story in 2017 where a court was like, I guess he could have actually been asking for a dog to represent him in the court of law. All because there wasn't a comma in the thing.
Whoa.
So simply because somebody did not include the comma there, court had reason enough to believe, like, well, if he said lawyer dog, like, maybe he actually wanted a lawyer dog.
It's
one of the stupidest things I've ever read in my life.
What state was this?
So when we start talking, do we need to start talking and then also including the actual punctuation as well?
Maybe it's one of those cases where, like, it's in, you know, politics when, like, full stop. Like,
yeah.
Just give me a lawyer. Full stop, dog.
So, like, it's like when you're doing voice to text, you have to say comma or period.
But, like, when I saw that story, because at first yesterday I just saw people joking about, like, a lawyer dog, and I was like, okay, this must be some silly story. But then I, like, actually read the story, and I was like, what? So commas, everybody, they're important.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Full stop. franchise, what do you got?
I've daily dapped the World Series on the last two pods because it's been unreal, and it ended last night. Daily dapped to the Houston Astros.
Kind of a
very
sad.
It sucked, man. Every game was so good, and the Dodgers were just out of it in the second inning before it could even get started. And they had their chances. They had men on base in a lot of innings and couldn't bring anyone around until the sixth inning. They got that one run, but it was a great World Series. And
overall,
daily daps.
Yep, there you go.
That's it.
I will give a daily daps to a hip hop comedian named Big Shaq.
Hip hop.
He's got this video out. It's called "Man's Not Hot." That's the song. "Man's Not Hot." And the premise, basically, Big Shaq is a combination of Rich Chiga and Dave Chappelle's character Fisticuffs, the guy who says, "Turn my headphones up. Turn them up." It's a combination of that because he can actually spit rhymes, but they're so nonsensical. I would encourage folks to go find Big Shaq. "Man's Not Hot." This video is so popular online, and the single is like a top 10 track in Britain right now, which is just what? Unbelievable. Anyways, go check it out. It's absolutely hysterical. The whole point of the video is he's wearing his parka in Miami on the beach in the sauna, and he's just saying, "A man's not hot."
he's cold. A man is cold.
I don't. Okay, whatever. It's great.
Later.
I'm obsessed.
By the way,
with Big Shaq,
I will say, as somebody
obsessed.
Who has watched most of the dumb videos James has recommended on here, his hit rate is pretty damn high.
I tend not to put that kind of stuff on these things unless I actually am like, oh my god, this is brilliant.
But no, there was the freestyle rapper guy who was amazing,
and then it was Llama Llama Red Pajama.
Llama Llama Red Pajama
was
great.
That was solid. Okay, all right. So there you go, Matt Harmon. What do you got?
I am going to give a daily dap. You know, as we're preparing to move out of our current apartment, Casa Gil Harmon, I'm beginning to, you know, think about all these, like, places of convenience near me that I'm, you know, used to going to, I can walk to, and one of which is Charlie's Groomer, because he's just got a new haircut. And he looks incredible. I mean, this is the best I've ever seen him. And it's
he looks incredible.
And it looks so good. I texted my sister yesterday, and I was like, go to Matt's Instagram and look at the latest picture of Charlie.
Right. There's a photo on my Instagram, the same as my Twitter handle, MattHarmon_BYB, if you're interested in going and checking it out.
Boy.
But anyways, it's the best I've ever seen him look since we've moved out here. You know, they're in a rhythm.
Look at how cute that.
Way to daps yourself, bro. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, so he looks good.
It's looking good.
Yeah, okay.
Erica approves. Yeah, anyways.
No, Erica does not approve. She's got a disgusted look on her face, and Thor looks like he's triggered.
Anyways.
Thor's like, I'm triggered, Mom.
Podcast pup today.
There is, you know, so I'm going to give a daily dap to them. They've done incredible work, and now I have to – they're in a rhythm with him here after, you know, going there for 2 years.
Got it.
Now I have to face the consequence of, like, do I just go somewhere where I can walk, or do I just keep driving to this one, you know?
Terrible.
Yeah, it's rough.
You're not going to drive there. Let's be realistic.
It's L.A., bro.
Yeah.
That's a real issue.
It is a real issue because it's like I know there's a couple places in walking distance, but do I want to start all over when I can just walk in, put them on the table, and be like, you know what to do. And
right.
We've got all this.
And he trusts them.
Yeah,
and
it's rough.
My dog is the same way.
Well, again, I mean, Charlie is he's a people pleaser. Harmon, he doesn't need to worry about trusting people.
You could drive him up there and then go to the Gulp while you wait.
Well, we both know that's not going to happen.
Shut up, James. Gulp forever, baby.
You just said you weren't going to go to the Gulp.
Of course I'm going to the Gulp.
Yeah, I know. We're going on Friday, the last time.
Shh. Ever.
How dare you? I'm
ever.
Not going to you. You're not welcome. I'm calling management ahead of time and telling them not to allow you in.
Producer Erica, what do you got?
I got a puppy on my lap.
You do. Thor.
True.
I'm good.
I think Thor is actually better looking than Charlie.
Thor is
the
man.
What do you think about that?
I agree.
Matt is so triggered.
Oh, Mike Throne.
We've had consecutive walk-offs.
He feels attacked.
That's good. He does feel
Thor
attacked.
Thor is super cute, though.
Thor is a very cute puppy.
Good looking dog. Okay.
Thanks.
You're going to Boston.
I am, yeah. So he's chilling with me at NFL today, and then we're going to head to LAX.
Perfect.
Nice.
He's been a great guest.
Like, yeah.
You never would have guessed
there was a dog in this.
Yeah.
It's been a little squirmy lately, but.
That's the show. There you go. For Matt Harmon, for Matt Franchise, for Alex Gelhar, for Thor, and producer Erica, I'm James Goh. We'll catch you later.